All right, thank you. Good to see everyone this morning. We was joking around a little bit. Pretty day outside. Hope it's not too pretty for some folks to make church. Amen. I've said this before. Preachers hate two kinds of weather, good and bad. Because we've had excuses made on both kinds. Amen. Many times. Well, open your Bibles to 1 John. We're still in chapter 2. We won't get out of that probably this morning, unless you listen awful fast. Been our privilege to keep teaching the adult class here. Brother Parsons allowed us to do that. We drug out the book of Revelation long as we could, and it finally began to be obvious we didn't really want to quit, but we did. So we didn't quit the same author as John. In fact, we went back a little bit. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John before he wrote the book of Revelation. Of course, he didn't really write the book of Revelation. He just wrote down what God revealed to him. And so as we read John, 1st John here, and a lot of good advice to us as Christians, because it's written to Christians, written to us in all stages, from little children on up to the oldest. And John knew all and wrote down what God wanted him to, but you can't help but imagine how John must have felt as he did then get the book of Revelation revealed to him and be able to see the completion of all of it. You know, we joke about old age and all that business, but I'm going to preach on it one of these days. There is a text in the Bible that says the end is better than the beginning. I know where it's at, but I'm not going to tell you right now. Because a lot of folks disagree with that. You know, we kind of run a bluff sometimes with this thing we call old age and all that. Our senior Patriots group, we say the best is yet to come. That's more than just a little cute saying. The best is ahead of us if we're saved. Amen. And so in that sense, the end is better than the beginning. They say there's some tribes or amongst the heathen people on earth that when a baby is born, they wail and cry about it. And when they die, they rejoice over it. That's just the opposite of what we do in the West, and certainly in America, isn't it? I've thought as a pastor many times. I was talking to Brother Drake back there just a minute this morning. Sister Drake went on to be with the Lord, and she's got no more problems now. No more pain, no more problems. That is something to rejoice about, you know that? You get to thinking about it. Sometime we spend every dime we can get to prolong our suffering when it comes time to go home. That's a mean way to say it. Perhaps we don't want to leave our loved ones and all that. And so I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying we've got to do a little backwards sometimes, don't we? If the best is yet to come, why do we fear it so much? And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no reason to have a wrong kind of fear about it. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. I believe that. I really do. And most of us have a little secret conversation with God, and we say, well, Lord, when it comes time to take me, please don't take me that way with all the tubes and all the machines and all that that we see our loved ones go through. I kind of feel that way. Then we hear about somebody going very quickly. And you hear about that quite often, because the scripture tells us we don't know what another day is going to bring forth. There's a positive side to that. They didn't have to suffer that long. They didn't have to go through all that so many do. That's God's business, and it's His call. When I talk to folks, I say, leave that up to God. It's His call, and trust Him with it all the way. Well, I want you to jump into chapter 2 with me in 1 John. We told you last week, we had some study, of course, in the book of Revelation, especially in chapter 13, and all about the Antichrist and his kingdom coming. And I've had folks say, well, where does it say the Antichrist is going to have a kingdom and come and rule. Well, read the book of Revelation for one, and there's other references in the Bible. But certainly the book of Revelation tells you that's going to happen. Now, you and I that are living in a day when our news is so shocking and so absurd and so ridiculous, the only way you can explain it is that we're seeing that Antichrist kingdom come together. That's what we're seeing now, seeing it pretty rapidly, and have been now for a long time. But the first mention of the actual word Antichrist in your King James Bible is found here in 1 John chapter 2, as we'll start reading this morning in about verse 17 and go down through verse 20. And it is the first mention, even though he is referred to many times in the scripture, many times before this. But the actual word Antichrist, John uses right here. So we start reading this morning. Good advice. We got on it last week. Told you ought to memorize chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's with a covetous love, a thinking. You know, folks, if you owned the whole world, you'd still die and leave it. And Jesus said the most important thing is your soul. Where's it going? I've had a lot of funerals. There was a big one here this week that I believe God really got in. But I've had a lot of funerals, and I've had folks ask some ridiculous questions at them. A lawyer, I believe it was, in our county here years ago said, people ask about people dying, and he said, talking about a wealthy man, I think I could barely remember his name, but he said people come to him after the man died and said, just how much did he leave? And he said, I looked at him, tried to keep from grinning and saying, he left it all. Yeah, he left it all. We all leave it all. Whether it's got a high estimation in the eyes of others or not, we leave it all. That's not the question. What are we going to? That is the question, isn't it? Amen. So here, love not the world or the things of the world. They're going to pass away. The verse keeps on going and tells us that. So I encourage you last week to memorize those verses. And then we drop into verse 17. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. That lust means all the desires, the covetousness, all the things. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's the side we want to be on. What is God's will? First is that you receive his son that loved you and died for your sins and paid the price. And that is, John tells us in the book of John, he tells us that is the will of God, that we believe on him who he sent, the Lord Jesus, of course. And the rest of it's going to pass away. Then he says, little children, and this book is addressed to us primarily, start with as believers and little children. God doesn't intend for us to stay little children in his word. We ought to grow. Sadly, I tell you what, America wouldn't be in the shape it's in today if God's people grew instead of staying as little children. A lot of what we're dealing with today and losing our country, and we're losing it so fast, is because God's people didn't wake up, still haven't woken up, and still, oh yes, they're saved, but they don't know enough Bible to even know how to vote or what is right and what is wrong. And that's one of the burdens most preachers carry. I guess it was Billy Graham or some well-known preacher of years ago said the hardest thing about preaching to people was to remember how simple they are. Well, the Bible tells us that, calls us sheep. They say sheep's the dumbest animals in the world. And we fit that category so much of the time. The world outsmarts us so much of the time. They set traps for us and all that kind of business, and we fall for it. I probably had an abundance of critical spirit put in me from my early life on. Somebody says it don't necessarily mean I'm going to believe it till I test it. And the way you ought to test it after you get saved is by the Word of God. Does it fit the Word of God or not fit the Word of God? You know if it's truth or not as you measure it by the book. And that's important. Now he said, little children, it is the last time. You know, a lot of folks say, well, I was in the doctor's office this week getting this spot fixed or cut off. And a man I know, a Christian, said, "Preacher, do you believe it's the last time?" He said, "I've been asking some other preachers that. What do you believe?" I said, sure I do. Well, John said it was the last time. Could we be in the last time all the way from John writing this book till now? Yes, we are in the last time. We can say we're in the last of the last times. We could do it maybe that way and be right. If you measure the whole span of humanity from Genesis till now, John was in the last time. He'd be in the last third of the thousands of years. That would make it the last time. We are in the last, I believe, of the last time, no doubt about it. Now, John thought that then. Was he wrong? No, he wasn't wrong. He was dead on, because he understood some things. He said, "You have heard." So this was common stuff among the church, among the Christians now, what they had heard. "You have heard that Antichrist." Again, this is the first mention of the word Antichrist in the Bible. "Antichrist shall come." Then he says a shocking thing. "Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, we differentiate here between the man that will show up as the Antichrist and many Antichrists. That presents the fact of the spirit of Antichrist in a lot of people. Hitler, yeah, he had, we identify him so many ways, he'd made a good Antichrist. Maybe the devil had him planted, but he got defeated. But a lot of rulers and leaders from the time of John on displayed a Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit we're seeing today is not new. It is growing big. It is amazing. I saw this week a blurb of news where out in North Dakota, the school board eliminated the Pledge of Allegiance because it's got "under God" in it. Now that is Antichrist spirit. That's anti-God spirit. And we're seeing that everywhere, from our classrooms right on up through politics, the whole nine yards. And what would have been considered, I mean, can you imagine just a few years ago, a school board couldn't have done that without being replaced. But there's no disturbance. The stuff that's going on, we heard in the news this week that the bill has been signed to spend a big pile of money that we don't have. You know why you can't do that? They won't let you have a printing press in the back of the room to print some more money. That's what the government does. Nothing backing it. It's all credit. Barred it from our future grandkids, to say the least. But you saw in the news this week where the IRS is going to double its staff. Going to hire 80-something thousand new employees. That's twice what they've got now. What we are becoming as this Antichrist kingdom builds is a total dictatorship under the gun, our Constitution thrown aside, and the freedoms we have known, we will no longer know. I'll meddle just a minute and get back to the book, but this is the book, because the book predicts it. Time's going to come, they're going to put you in a little battery car so you can't get much further than the city limits. So they're going to take your freedom to travel away. They're doing that now. Freedom of speech. Did you see in the news this week where Twitter is coming out with the new rules? In other words, you can't say anything they disagree with. And of course, they're far left Antichrist part of the kingdom. So freedom of speech. They've already been doing that. They've been censoring for a long time, but they come out. See here, they did a lot of this stuff secretly. Now they're boldly in your face telling you what they're going to do. It's moving that way. When they are advertising for the new employees that they will hire at IRS, they had on their website that you have to be willing to be armed and to use it. Now, all of a sudden, that's a little different. All of a sudden, they're not just armed with a computer. They're armed with a gun and are willing to use it. They took it off after there was some fuss about it, took it off their ad, but That's what they're looking for. So that's no different than a dictatorship, no different than any nation that is, the citizenship is under watch all the time, and under threat all the time. So we move to that. Now, you and I are praying that the Lord calls us out of it before it gets as bad as maybe we've known it to be in Cuba or Russia or some other nations that we could name. But we're fast moving that way, very, very quickly moving that way. And say, well, they raided President Trump's home. Yeah, they did something that is ridiculous. They sure didn't raid Hillary's. And she had the computer in the restroom, keeping up with things, and took a hammer to her cell phones and washed them with bleach. All that was in the news. Did you get it, or are you watching the wrong channels? You can watch the wrong channels, and there's more of them. Fox News is not perfect, but among the crowd, it's the best. Coming near telling you the truth. Not all everybody that's on there is saying it, but they'll come near giving you some truth. And of course, they're hated for it. But the raid on his home, we all expected that, didn't we? Didn't we expect them to find some way to stop, because he's under threat to run again, and they're scared of him. So they had to find a way to stop it. That's part of the Antichrist spirit that I'm talking about. See, he stopped the tax money from going to automatically pay for sex changes in prisons. And, I could go on that stuff, but he was just running afoul of what the liberals wanted. And the liberals, that's too good a word for the crowd out there now. They're wicked. They're wicked. They're not just liberal. They are evil. And we need to understand that. So you and I that know the Bible, we're seeing this thing build and build and build. And do what you can. You pray about it. But I have to admit to you, we can be thankful for one thing. God knew it ahead of time. He predicted it ahead of time. And so he's still in charge of it. I do not believe God intends for us to just lay down and do nothing. Speak up when you can. Vote right when you can. Do what you can do to withstand evil. You might buy enough time that somebody else gets saved because the Lord answered our prayers. So we don't quit. We don't give up. But at the same time, we got to recognize it. And recognize that the Antichrist spirit is what we're seeing front and center today. The man will show up. We read about him in Revelation 13. We just got through studying that. We read about his name and his number and all of that. But what he says here, the spirit of Antichrist, we recognize that today. Now, John lived under the time of the Roman emperor, probably Domitian, which was the one that exiled him to the Isle of Patmos to write the book of Revelation. Roman emperors would come to the throne, different ones, some more evil than others. They tell some awful stories on the ones, and Roman history records it. One thing about evil Rome, it did make records, and those records are still available today. And you need to understand those emperors sat in a seat, in a chair, as ruler, as dictator. But not only that, that chair was a religious chair, and they were looked upon as gods, supposed to have the power of gods. I told you that last week. They even convinced one he could fly, and he flew to the ground and killed himself. We can laugh about that. But the Roman system is not gone. It still lives on. It lives on in a religious face more than just, and the religious face was there all the time, but it was a pagan religion face. They had their, you can read the stories of their gods and all that. But the church, so-called, that sits in the seat of Rome is still got a hand in what's going on. And the Antichrist kingdom is going to use that and is using that right now to have the population of planet Earth accept this false Antichrist that will finally show up and finally will be a man. Now, the emperors were worshiped. Let me give you an example. Some of you, well, I was joking about birthdays this morning. I've been around long enough to remember some things firsthand. World War II, the Emperor of Japan was treated as a god. You remember that? And you remember how the people wailed and carried on because when we defeated Japan in World War II, we destroyed their god, the emperor. Well, that was what the Roman kingdom had. They worshiped their emperors. Now, as the emperor gave up the seat in Rome, somebody else took that seat. And we still today see the system, and it still carries the first name, Roman. Yes, it does. Get mad, turn off your radio, or whatever you want to do. If you want to check me out, see if I'm telling you the truth. It's all in print. It's all historically written down. Now, I mentioned last week to you the preference to your King James Bible. If you count the pages and you have an unabridged preference, and very few Bibles do anymore, you probably got 10 pages. And it's hard reading. I suggest you read it. You got to remember it was written at the time this King James Bible was translated, and the final 47 men that finished it up, they did it under the authority of King James of England. And John said many antichrists, it's the last time. John had something particular in mind. He had in mind exactly what the King James translators had in mind and identify. And I've opened up mine. I have, of course, old Cambridge Bible, wide margin, and it's got the full unabridged message to King James from the translators. And on the 1, 2, 3rd paragraph of the first page, I drop down at the bottom of it, and I'm going to read it to you again, and I hope you'll listen. They're thanking King James, and they say this, that the zeal of your majesty toward the house of God doth not slack or go backward, but is more and more kindled, manifesting itself abroad in the farthest parts of Christendom by writing in defense of the truth. And then it says in parentheses, and this is the quote, defense of the truth which hath given such a blow unto that man of sin as will not be healed. Man of sin. As you get nearer the end, you'll find, in fact, all the way through there, you'll find some references to the same system. You'll even find some of the popes by name in that preference, like Pope Sixtus, and there's some things I've maybe preached in the past about him. You'll have some of the so-called church fathers named, which were all of Rome in this preference here. Don't read it now. You got to listen to me now. You go home and read it instead of watching TV. Amen? Listen to me. You can't read it fast. You're going to have some time if you read a whole unabridged preference. And you'll pick up some of what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that the man of sin was an identification that the King James translators believe because it's out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 reads this. Paul is writing, of course, to the church here at Thessalonica. Let no man deceive you. I'm going to back up. Verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, I want you to understand, he wrote the letter, the first letter to church at First Thessalonica. Get it right here in a minute. And they had thought maybe Christ had already come. Somebody maybe wrote a false letter in Paul's name, so he's correcting that and warned them about that. So he tells them here, the day of Christ. Now, a lot of students get mixed up on that. They think that's the rapture. No, Listen to me. The day of Christ is a long day. If you read about the Lord's Day in the first chapter of the book of Revelation where we taught, that's not Sunday it's talking about. The Lord's Day is when the Lord begins to deal at the end of time with the rapture, with the tribulation period, and finally setting up his millennial kingdom. That's the premillennial view of the Bible. And so the day of Christ covers all of that, all of that. And so Paul is warning them, all this has not happened. And he says here, and then we get the name here, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except the coming away, or falling away first. And that man of sin, what do you call him? That man of sin. What did the King James translators call him? Man of sin. Sitting in a seat, declaring he is God. He is the vicar of Christ. Vicar means in place of. And so he's sitting where he's taking the honor and glory that belongs to Christ. Listen to me. There is no saint. There is no preacher. There is no priest. There is no pope between you and God. Amen. It's you and Jesus. And Jesus is the only mediator between man and God, the scripture says. That's the big difference, folks. You'd be surprised how many American citizens don't understand that. They check their brain at the door of a building called a church. There's a whole lot of difference in what you believe. Did you see in the news this week where the assassin tried to kill the author that exposed the satanic verses in the Quran? Rushdie, I believe is his name. He may live. He's put him in the hospital, almost dead. A young man run up and stabbed him. Why? Because the leaders of Islam had put a reward on his head way back in the 80s. That young man believed he was doing right. Believed he was doing good. It does matter what you believe. And a lot of the foolishness in the world today always starts as a wrong thought. A wrong belief. So it's important what you believe, and especially when your soul's at stake. God made one way to get to heaven, and that's by sending his son. He did not make a system. He did not make a church. He made a man that is the man Christ Jesus. He's the mediator between man and God. The scripture's so plain on that. So I want you to just see this thing. John here said the last day. Yes. Yes, he's right. Paul mentioned the last days. Are they right? I'm preaching about the last days. Yes. It's still in that scope of the day of Christ. It covers it, all there. Now, we understanding this, and if you read that, if you study through that preference there to the translators, you'll find, as you do, that they make several different references that counts there on what I'm talking about. But the spirit of Antichrist is recognizable from John's day right on till right now with the things that we are seeing and complaining about today. Very, very much so. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is today attacking churches, board meetings of schools, putting homosexual propaganda call and calling it curriculum in our schools. It's all anti-God stuff, all of it. And we are seeing that more obvious today. It is amazing to me how now they're trying to teach our kids and trying to teach our military the right pronouns to use. What does that mean? I meet a guy, looks like a man to me, so I call him sir or a man. Or him, but I'm supposed to check him out and see what he wants to be called before I call him anything. Maybe he wants to be called a her instead of a him. That's what they're teaching. Militaries that ought to be trained to fight the enemy, the enemy is destroying them from within. And they can't recruit an army now. We've had a voluntary army, but we're not going to have it anymore. They're going. You mark this preacher's word. I'm gonna say something that I have to eat, but if we don't have the rapture for long, they will be drafting soldiers because young men are not gonna join a system. that tells them not to recognize the difference in a man and a woman. And that's already happening. And many of them that would have made a career out of it, already spent years in it, are getting out because of the so-called wokeness doctrine that they've brought in. It's crazy. Nobody would have ever thought this kind of thing had happened. That's the Antichrist kingdom building. Trump got in trouble because he was not a globalist. They are out to get him, and I'm surprised the man hadn't been assassinated. They've done everything but that to try to discredit him and get rid of him. Do you have faults? Sure, he's a human being. He said things maybe he shouldn't, but listen, he sure was right when it come to the price of oil. He sure was right when it comes to the homosexual agenda. He was right on the abortion issue. He was right, and they hate him for it. That's the Antichrist spirit showing up that produced that hate. I think you ought to pray for him. I know a preacher, and you do too. He's preached right here in my pulpit, that's sat in the back seat of the car with him in one of the trips, and talked to President Trump. President Trump told him, said, as they were driving through the big city and the folks had been staying off the streets for the convoy to come through, preacher was sitting in the back seat with him, Brother Fugate, Jeff Fugate, sitting in the seat with him. And Jeff said to him, this city looks empty. It reminds me of what it's going to look like when the rapture takes place. That's what the preacher said to President Trump. President Trump said, you're right. And I'm going too, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. You say, well, he done this, that, and oh, I want to tell you something personally with me. When somebody gets saved, born again, and starts living for God, I don't hold their past against them. They are a new creature in Christ. Right? Now, if he proves he's a fake, that'll show up. But if he's really saved, his life will change. Mine did. Yours did. If you really got born again, it saved you from what you used to do to yourself. I done a lot of stuff to myself. I stayed in the sunshine too long. It's why they're cutting spots off my face now. But that wasn't a sin. It was just dumb. Should have had on a big hat. Amen. All right. You didn't get that one, but you should. Truth of the matter is, we do dumb things. And even after you get saved, you'll still do some dumb things, but not like you did before you had the truth to go by. When you know what's right and wrong after you're saved, you know what the Word of God says, you know what pleases God and what don't. And so our excuse is gone then. We'll reap what we sow, and it does pay to serve God. And especially when you get saved, you ought to be concerned. What can I do that's right? What can I quit doing that's wrong? That should be our attitude. We'll have to fight the flesh over it, but it's worth fighting. Is it the last days? Yes. Yes, it is. The day of Christ from John's time right on. And if you notice in verse 4 here, the last portion of scripture I'll look at this morning in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and look at it with me here in verse 4. Talking about this man of sin, here's what he does, verse 4. He's called the son of perdition, that's hell. The only time this was used was when Jesus was referring to Judas in the prayer in John 17, the son of perdition. Jesus said he's the only one that's lost is the son of perdition here when he was praying. But now back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, talking about the man of sin, the son of perdition, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all. I don't know a preacher that does that. Do you? I know some religious leaders that tried to, bunch of them, and that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's quite a condemnation. That's quite a charge. That's what the Antichrist will do. That's what the spirit of Antichrist in this world has caused others to do and still doing today. All right, I hear voices in the back. That means my time's up. Somebody's dismissed Sunday school. All right, 7:75. I was hoping the kids would bring the parents back. They started school, you know. But that may not affect this old age class, amen? All right, some of you don't have a sense of humor.